Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is Mama Seven, and I am so glad to be here on Wednesday evening. I hope everyone is well. I don't know for all my fasters out there, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the sun is setting earlier and earlier. And so I'm hoping in the next week or two, we'll be able to eat even before the program. Thumbs up. It's still 93 degrees down in South Georgia. And so it's still quite hot and uncomfortable. But at least we'll be able to come back to some level of normalcy. It is a lot. But by this time Wednesday, a wonderful approach, we should have our shrines taken care of. We should have our prayers in. You know, if I am an evening prayer, that's when I get the most of my prayers in. But I don't even know how you can go through the day without checking in with your creator, with your protection, with that loves you more than love can hold. You know, I don't know how you go a day, all day without checking in. So, you know, we start our day with prayer. We end our day with prayer. We're journaling. We're building. We're really taking a day. It has been a day. But we're taking the day to really get ourselves back into our spiritual self. You know, so many times we allow outside things to define our world. We allow work to define when we wake up, what we wear, when we go to sleep. We allow sometimes children, anybody else, online schooling. I'm relearning algebra, and I'm like, wait a minute. But, you know, we allow children to dictate our schedule. We allow husbands to dictate our schedule. You know, all these things that did not create us are dictating big pieces of our life. And so every Wednesday, a wonderful approach, we reclaim that energy. We reclaim the priority. You know, I still have paperwork to do and everything else like that. I fit the paperwork in today. Where any other day I'm fitting everything else in. No, not on Wednesday. Not on a day where I let my spirit know you are important. I am going to take care of you. I am serious about the promises and vows that I've made, and I'm talking to my own spirit. I'm serious about those things. And so because I'm serious about those things, I have to make time. I have to push this world back. And I'm not talking about no sloppy seconds, staying up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning like I do. But, you know, I'm not talking about that time. I'm talking about first fruits. I'm talking about at the crack of dawn, before the sun has even risen, have you spoken to your creator? And if you don't do it no other day but Wednesday, it's the beginning, because there's something really powerful about that day. There's also something a little difficult about the day. I ain't going to lie. I was talking to a sister, and I told her, I said, hey, Wednesday fast is a little different from the rest of the week. I don't know why, but it is more electric, more challenging, more everything. So I am praying by the time we've gotten to this point, we've done our check-in. You know, hopefully we've done more than our check-in. But if you haven't, you're just beginning, you're not quite sure, that's okay. Consider this your reminder that before the day is over, that you have taken the time to check in with your creator and make sure all is well, okay? It's important. My day got started nice and strong and early. I had a tarantula run loose in my, you know, almost think he was going to run loose. I got him real quick. But, you know, it has been one fantastic fire show after another, and that's Wednesday. We have to plan for that. We have to know that, you know, if there's a trip up or slip up, it's going to be Wednesday. Why? Maybe a little sluggish. You're not on your game, didn't eat. Maybe you're focusing on something else and everything, and or maybe it's because negativity knows that you're supposed to be prayed up. You're supposed. So imagine his delight Imagine that negativity's delight in being able to trip you up on the day that you're supposed to be dedicated to God. You know, you got to stop and think about that. You're like, why are all these challenges like to pop up now? Because they're trying to take you off your precision of language, where you are precise in your words and in your actions. They're trying to take you off that. So, you know, if Wednesdays get challenging, it's not accidental. It is very intentional. So let's spend the time and energy holding ourselves, our mouths, our, you know, all of us, hold every piece of you together and really, really be dedicated to making sure that you're not making those mistakes, okay? So this is Wednesday, and we do this every Wednesday. Every Wednesday we're in our whites. Every Wednesday we're doing our journaling and our praying and keeping up with each other. You got to do it, family. Got to do it. Last week we had a great show. I like all the shows, some more special than others, but last week's show we were talking about sacred locations and ceremonial energy. It was a wonderful show because it gave us the opportunity to speak about all those places that we get to visit where we have these monumental experiences, you know, whether it you're visiting the sacred mounds. The ocean is always breathtaking to me, and the ceremonial energy, we can create portals for energy. My son Solomon sends me these sunrise pictures at the beach. His energy has a connection with that ocean, has a connection with that water, and it always has. So every other morning, he's out at sunrise, and I don't know many 21-year-olds that wake up at the crack of dawn to go take pictures of the sun rising. And there's so many, you know, sunset pictures, sunrise pictures. It's amazing to me. But to me, not only were we talking about sacred locations and ceremonial energy, we were also talking about how the elements impact us. We were speaking about those people drawn to certain elements. We were also speaking about sacred times of the day. You know, that dusk and dawn, there's a transitioning of energy right there that's vital. That's vital. So, you know, it was a great show, and we just got a chance to speak about all those wonderful things. If you want to check it out, you can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All the old shows are posted there. You can also go to A Wonderful Approach, awonderfulapproach.com. There you'll see the shows. You'll see upcoming workshops and retreats. You'll see lovely pictures. You'll see all the rest of A Wonderful Approach. And the work that we do is beautiful work. It really, really is. Today we're going to be talking about letting go to heal. And when I woke up this morning, I said the words before I said anything else. So I was like, okay, as I'm listening to myself, I'm like, okay, who needs to hear this today? You know, what is going on? And Spirit was like, you got to talk about letting go. You got to let go. And I was like, okay, I got it. But I think we've done that show recently. And I'm looking and I'm like, well, did we do this? It doesn't matter. Spirit would not let me go. It was so profound, so heavy. You have to let go to heal. You have to let go to heal. You know, you have to say the word, let it go. And I was like, okay, are we talking about release? Are we talking, you know, so I'm trying to make sure I'm getting the right. And Spirit's like, listen to me now. Let it go. Got to say it just like that. I was like, okay, got it. And so I can imagine, and we all know ourselves, we pretend like we don't. We pretend like we need somebody to remind us of what we're holding on to. We pretend like, oh, this is not unhealthy. But girl, you know it's unhealthy. Dude, stop playing. So, you know, we already know what is healthy and what's not healthy for ourselves. But we don't want to let it go. We want to hold on. We want to time it. See, I'm a big timer. Oh, give me a calendar. I called. I have corporate meetings behind my calendar. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I want to time this so it's just perfect. So I don't have to worry about this, and I don't have to be uncomfortable here, and I don't. Guess what, boo? It don't happen like that. And there is a certain level of surrender that is necessary when you're letting go. It's more than just release. It's more than just that. You have to give it. You have to truly give it and let it go. And we're not doing enough of that. We're trying to hold on to our time as opposed to divine time. We're going to try to hold on to a piece of it. Or I've seen it the other way, where it's like we're not trying to hold on to the whole thing. We want to see it not just let go, demolished. You don't get to choose if it gets demolished or not. Spirit just said for you to let it go. Once you let it go, you got to let it go. Don't worry about what happens after that. If it falls, if it stands, it doesn't matter. Spirit just asks you to let it go. So all of this is a challenge. And I said, even if we have spoken about it in the past 4 or 5 months, so much is going on in the world right now. Let's take another shot at this. Let's look at it again. It's obvious that it has to be addressed again. So here we are. And my feedbackers, I appreciate my feedback crew. I need to hear this. Oh, I was just thinking about this. Yeah, let's get it. I'm like, okay, good. So I'm not the only one getting this message about healing. Now, I got a couple of questions about healing. And I'm not the healing guru. I try my best. I'm still very human. One thing about healing is there are lots of ways to do it right. There's also a lot of ways to do it wrong. I think I've tried a couple of them. On both sides, okay? So this, again, this is a wonderful approach, okay? We're trying to find a wonderful way to handle it, but I'm also going to tell you some of the unwonderful ways I've tried to handle it and the lack of success that I've had with it. So, my first question is the why. Why do we have to let it go? Why? And anyone that would like to join into the conversation, because the phone lines are packed, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know that you'd like to speak, join into the conversation, shout me out, hey, I'm here listening, whatever you want to do. All you have to do is press 1. That lets us know, hey, I'm here, okay? The first thing was why. Why do I have to let it go? Why? The why is really kind of, I wish I could say it was simple. I remember growing up when I was a child and my mother would say, because I said so. For me, that was sufficient. I did not buck with the rules. I found out where the rules were. I stayed in my little box. I think I've had 2 or 3 encounters where I accidentally leaned on the box and got in trouble, so I came back to the middle. But But if you are struggling with the why, as you grow older, you get opinions. Hey, what do you mean I got to let this go? I worked hard for this. I went to college for this. I have invested lots of time and money into this. Why? Why do I have to let it go? And a couple of answers, you got to show growth. Okay? So those shoes, those patent leather shoes that you used to buy when you were, 10? I bet your foot has grown since 10. So the things that you had when you were 10 don't serve you anymore. I don't need this anymore. It's like the training wheels on a bike. There comes a point where once you have learned how to ride the bike, the training wheels just slow you down. So there comes a time where you let it go to show that you have reached a level of growth. There's not enough of that now. Back in the day, and not that far back in the day, we used to have rites of passages. And Mother Khadija is very, very big on rites of passage, has done studies and ritual work and documentation, doctorates and all this other stuff for rites of passage. And we focus so much on the things that you gain in your rites of passage. Okay, so you're coming into this age, so I'm giving you this. I'm giving you your womanhood title. I'm giving you this. I'm giving you that. A lot of times we don't talk about what you have to give up in order to get that. You know, we're so busy focusing on what's ahead, we're not thinking about what's behind us. And when we don't have rites of passage programs, when we don't have programs that say, okay, now you're a man, now you're not, then we can have anyone claiming to be a man and they really not know what or how to do. We also can have men, and I just say men just because we're talking men and women, but you can also have people that haven't done the proper letting go moving into a phase of adulthood. So when we say let it go, you know, for a young woman, you know, the whole idea of letting it go might mean your security blanket, that you're going to have to let that go. You know, you can't be up here grown, talking on the phone, popping off, whatever, whatever, and you got to go home and run to your blankie. You know what I'm saying? I know, you know, just speaking about growth, I'm just using my oldest child as an example. There were lots of growing pains in the letting go process. I was like, I got to get this kid out of my house and ready for college. And letting go was difficult for both of us. But we knew in order to show growth, in order for me to be done with that phase of mothering, I had to successfully get him out the house. And he had to know for me to move from this whole boy idea to young man idea, I couldn't be riding on my mama's coattails. That's not going to work. I don't get to say I'm a man and still be hit sitting on a coattail. So there's always a sacrifice. With every beginning, there is an ending. And we don't do enough of that. We don't correlate letting go with growth. You know, another thing that letting go does is it gives us obedience. We have to be obedient. There's not enough emphasis on obedience overall, which is why we have all of the lawbreakers and criminals and people just not doing what they're supposed to do because they don't want to be obedient. Obedience is a maturity. The reason why it's important to show spiritual maturity, because that's how we get more things. That's how we get more responsibility. If God's like, look, I need you to give up the bacon, and we're struggling and fighting and fussing over the bacon, how's God gonna put more on your plate when he sees that you're struggling with what could be considered one of the basics? You know, God's asking you to control yourself physically. You know, watch your loins. He's given us lots of blueprints. We know all the answers about how we're supposed to engage, how we're not supposed to engage. Maturity and obedience means we follow those guidelines. And when we follow the guidelines, that lets us know, that lets God know, okay, they're ready for more. They're ready for this. But if we're still making childish mistakes, then God does not set us up for failure. God is not the author of confusion. So we're not going to, he's not going to overwhelm or confuse or increase anything if we're still struggling with the ABCs. You know, this is why humans kind of get a bad rap, because we don't live that long. We're still growing. And even though we have matured in certain ways, we're very stubborn and arrogant in others. And so because of that, a lot of times we don't achieve all that we can in this lifetime that we have. So, you know, our time is short. You know, don't put it off. Don't keep asking God to wait in there. No. Make a decision, hey, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be mature in my obedience. Don't, you know, if God asks you to walk down the street, you don't have to sit there and be like, oh, you need me to skip down the street? You need me to hop down the street? Oh, but can I crawl down the street? Get down the daggone street. So it's like we don't have to play games and pretend like we don't understand what God's plans and intentions are. Let's be mature in our obedience. Toe in there saying that you got wet. No, going in there. Get all the way in. So there's a lot of, I call them come to Jesus moments. But there are a lot of opportunities for us to grow and to gain more knowledge and understanding by letting go, by releasing, by saying, okay, I'm going to intentionally give this up. That's what a sacrifice is. That's when we're fasting all day, all hot day, y'all, not just a regular warm, cool day, all hot day. I'm in South Georgia. You know, when we're chasing around spiders, you're chasing around kids, the turtles and the cat food. When you're dealing that day, the fast is an incredible sacrifice. But it's one that you make willingly because you know the obedience is going to pay off. And we're going to talk about some of the payoffs. Like I call it that we'd like to speak. So we're going to go to the phone lines and have our powwow. Let's get down to the healing. Let's have some real conversations about this. So I'm going to try to click over. I'm going to say, greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama Seven. This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. How you doing?
I am fine. Great topic. And you know it's one of my favorite things to work on. One of my favorite things to work on. So many things. Today was a challenging day. I'm not going to lie. And I'm still learning this Wednesday thing here. I didn't get up before the break of dawn, but I was praying in bed, though. Like, I just did not get out of bed to go eat, but I was praying, and then I went back to sleep. I was like, just work with me, Lord, work with me. You know, you talk about the distractions that come in. You know, I have someone that's going through a lot of, you know, a lot of things. So I was helping her out today. And then I had work to do and I hadn't eaten, but I was just like, okay. And I realized it wasn't until like the half of the day was over and I was like, ooh, I haven't prayed anymore. Let me go and sit down, get my books and get my journal and let me just have my prayer session, which was so great, so inspiring, so releasing for me because I was praying for everybody around me and trying to protect my own energy, which I'm learning how to do, and it's a really, really big struggle. So,
yes, it is.
You know, that's my own healing that I'm doing. So that was a good question. You said, why do we have to let it go? Literally, knowing now what I know at this point with many moons and many, many things to learn, literally our life depends on it. Like literally our life depends on it if we don't let it go. You know, I learned a lot on the mountain, and I always have to go. That's like my reference point now. That mountain, Lord Jesus. The mountain, you get the best experience of my life, I'll tell you that.
Amen.
Understanding carrying your load and others' load, it's heavy, and you can't move at the speed that God wants you to because you're weighed down.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like he's trying to tell you, everybody, all the energy is there for you to do what you're supposed to do and help you heal, but you're still holding on to the stuff because you think you need it as a clutch. You think you need it as you know, your statement piece. And it's like, no. You don't need that, you know. It's like stop, regroup, catch yourself. And, you know, our past to me right now, as I think about it, is supposed to be our reference to help others, not to keep in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Like get it out your house. You know, our experiences are supposed to help other people, help ourselves too, because we're supposed to learn some lessons in that. But don't keep it in your house. Get it out.
That's right. That's right.
Because you got more stuff to learn and more things to go through. So
that's
you just want to keep on weighing yourself down. It's not.
Yes.
Oh God, it's not good for you. It's just literally not
that's
good
right.
for you. You
that's
know,
right.
like there's a chemical reaction that's happening in our bodies when we don't do these things, or when we do decide, hey, what does healing look like for me, you know? And mm-hmm. so for me, it's praying more, praying in the midst, praying because, praying whatever, trying something different and praying for it to be moved away, because, you know, we all always try to figure it out ourselves. And that's not what we're supposed to do. And a common theme for me this week has been not leaning on my own understanding, you know.
Amen.
and telling other people, don't do this. We can't spin our wheels on these things. We don't know. So let's get answers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
So the more you put into you, the more you journal, the more you ask for help for an easier transition in whatever you're going through. You fill your thoughts up with more positive thoughts. So, you know, whatever is ailing you in your head that you're preventing your healing from is not overtaking the positive things that are happening in your life.
That's right.
You know, your mind and your body respond. So this healing
thing,
I'm continuing to learn and help my own self because I need help. it's just these beautiful revelations that I'm so thankful for, to understand and try and to continue to put into practice. So,
amen. Amen.
That's my healing for today.
Yeah. Yeah.
today was rough.
Grip on it. Yeah. You look, you got a grip when that spider got loose. Anyway, but so you have a grip on it. Now you have to apply it. And that's the hard part.
Yes.
I know people that can recite word for word. Okay, we do this, A, B, and C. They got the plan. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, break, and no one moves. And I'm like, wait a minute. there's an error in translation, okay? Because when I say break, we're all supposed to go do our duties, and they won't move. You know,
that's the hard part, because that's the work.
That's the hardest
thing is to face yourself when you're having to heal. And realize that it ain't got to do with why you're healing. It's yourself first. So we don't want to face ourselves. Why do we want to do that? It's no fun.
Yes.
That's not easy.
Why do I have to look at my own actions? Why do I have to look at what I've done? Why do I have to look?
Why do I have to take responsibility?
Why do I have to take responsibility? Why do I have to be accountable? All of these whys, that's the maturity part. You know, I find as I get older, and this gray hair is letting me know I am getting older, you know, as I get older, I have less whys in my life. You know, there's more, it's not a matter of why, it's a matter of just do.
Yeah.
Focus, do. The why means less to me, because the why does not make the work, in my opinion, go any faster or slower. The why is something that, you know, your mind may know, your head may know, your ego may know, but none of those things are going to get the work done. So, you know, it's like, how do we focus on getting the work done? So, yes, my dear. Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing your wonderful energy. I remember when you told me about Wednesdays and you were joining us, and I was so happy. I was like, yes, I just need to tell you, Wednesdays are a different kind of
Wednesdays now. I thought so. But Wednesdays need to literally be taken out of the week because it is a different animal.
It's totally
it doesn't
different.
Even need to be in the lineup of a 7-day week anymore, for me anyway. It looks very different.
It's the beginning of the week for me, or the ending of the week, whatever I want to look at it for that moment. But it's so different, and it really takes every Monday, every Tuesday night, I'm like, man, I need a running start for Wednesday. And it is.
I try. It doesn't work.
So,
you got to tell me a secret, because I prepare my mind. I prepare my phone to wake me up to do what I'm supposed to do. It's not working, Mama 7. I think in this last month it's worked one Wednesday, and I'm like, I'm sorry, God. But what I did do this morning after I got up, I did tend to my shrine. Like, I did everything.
Amen.
I even put some extra stuff on there today.
And
sat and spent time there, which was really great for me, and very energy kicked up real quick.
That is how you're supposed to start the day. Yes. That is perfect.
I did do that.
You know, when just like with devotion, if you focus on only the fact that I can't eat, you're going to miss the lesson. Mm-hmm. That's why it takes people 2 and 3 devotions really to understand what we're doing. You know, the food is just a gateway into getting us to refocus our minds. And so every time that I'm a little hungry, a little peckish, I'm like, I need to make some prayers. You know, and so I'm constantly making these prayers because, you know, it's a reminder. So I use it as a positive in the middle of this class. So,
right.
Yeah. All of that wonderful stuff. Thank you, my dear, for calling in and sharing with us. We need that energy. You keep it going.
Thank you.
Keep fighting with the Wednesday. Just keep fighting with it.
Yes, I am.
just keep going. You'll get there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. You know, one thing, you know, when people are talking, I'm writing because I'm getting all these good nuggets of wisdom. One thing that she said when she was speaking about knowing that she has to pull back some of her own energy, and I saw this hamster running on a wheel. Now, you know the wheel. I don't know if the hamster knows, but we know the wheel is connected to the cage, all right? So if you run on it fast or if you run on it slow, it does not matter. It's still connected to the cage. You're not going anywhere. And so you keep making excuses as to why you can't let go to heal. Okay, that means you're running fast. All right. Or if you say, oh, I get to it tomorrow, blah, 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 that means you're running slow. It doesn't matter. You're not going anywhere. You have got to get off of the wheel. You have to stop playing little head games with yourself. And let's get to the work, not just the talk, the work. You know, it's great to have a plan, but sometimes even in that plan, if we don't have the action to go with it, we're not going anywhere, and that does us no good. You know, I wonder, why is it so hard to let it go? You know, say, not why do we have to, why is it hard? Why do we avoid it? You know, what's holding us here? You know what I'm saying? And that's the part, I don't know. You know, I've been told, okay, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't know. Not really. I promise you, if it's a devil, you don't want to know it. You don't want to deal with it. You don't have nothing to do with it. You know, we have to get to the point, you know, for me, what this exposes is that there's not a lot of trust in God. I wonder how many of us are truly trusting God. Because if you trust God, you're not going to allow any devil to input or have in your life and in your decision making. So we have to really start to begin to trust in what we know is good, what we know can last, what we know is all. We have to trust in God and say, okay, if neither one of these are working, if both of these options seem devilish to me, find another option. Find your a wonderful approach. It's a title, it's a name, it's a slogan, it's a way of life. It's been a way of life. You know, before the words came like that, it was like, where's the win-win? Because if I'm winning over someone losing, then a part of me is losing too, because we're all connected in this fabric of humanity. Where's the win-win? So, you know, what is a wonderful approach? There are lots of ways to help someone, some more effective than others. You know, you can sit around and say, hey, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, blah, blah, blah. That may not be wonderful for them. What they might need you to do is hold their hand. Don't tell me what I need to do. Hold my hand. Let me stay close to you for half a second. Let me see how you handle this. Then I'm going to handle it. You know, so much in my leadership out there, all of those I call leadership. My leadership out there, you know what I'm talking about. Because there's been many a day where I said, hey, can you pray with this person? Can you pray with me? You know, there we have to be wonderful in our approaches, and we have to help people get to their healing in wonderful ways, because if we're not, this is not going to work. It's not effective. It's not impactful. So when we know and trust God, we're able to do that. And it's so important that we spend the time doing that. Phone lines are lit. I'm so happy because this lets us know we got people ready to share their story. We got people that believe in healing. Don't come over here with no dirty hands now. I'm going to wash you off. If you give me a hand, some dirty hand, I'm going to have to wash you off. I'm going to have to clean you up. But, you know, let's really work on how do we get ourselves to the best that we can be. What is wonderful? So we have to get to this, but I'm not gonna keep my sisters waiting, my brothers waiting. We have to get to this. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Greetings, Mama Seven. Greetings, Collective. This is Sister Faith visiting with
hey,
the nice
Sister
words.
Hey, Sister Faith, how you doing?
Oh, is the sun is down? Hallelujah. I promise you, working won't be Wednesdays. Woo.
Yes.
But to add to what you're saying, and I love how Nicole put it and how she put all her energy into making sure that she's trying to stay focused.
Right.
When I think of letting go now, I think of it differently. I don't think of it as a chore anymore.
Amen.
For me now, the letting go part is learning what the lesson was. What is the lesson that I've already learned so I can release this and I no longer have to deal with it?
Amen.
I think in the last several months, as I've been going through this process, and being isolated, and I love to be gone and on the road and going places and doing this and that, it's allowed me to reflect. And so being able to look at the bigger picture, I started here, and this didn't go so well, and I held on to this anger about this not going so well for so long. But when I was able to reflect, I said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that did happen, but this happened, this happened, this happened. This person got blessed. This person got, girl, you got blessed, you know. And so it's made it easier for me to look at the picture and say, that part of the painting is done. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And so when we can reflect on it and see the work that we've already done, it's easier to let it go. We don't have to keep digging in the same hole because the hole is dug. It's time to drop the seed, cover it up, and move on. You know, nothing can grow if we don't plant anything there.
Or keep going back to the same pain. You know, I really want you to share that because, you know, spirit's always talking, always working. And they're like, what about revisiting that same pain, putting yourself through that same misery? Every little bump on the road becomes that same old bump that blew out my shock or whatever. You know, how do you stop from revisiting that pain center?
Face it head on.
Okay.
So when you're honest with yourself, it'll give you the courage to face it head on. So this is the very thing that hurt me. This is the part, that, you know, I don't mind being transparent with the collective because that's what I do. But there was times in my life where I kept holding on to something like, you know, yeah, they do, those people treated me wrong. This happened, and I did everything right. And me, they did this to me. But when you looked at the picture again and you start to accept your part that you, the role you played, how you allowed yourself to even be set up in those situations, some of the situations, because I did not open my mouth and say no, because I did not say stop, because I did not say I can't. getting myself hurt. So really, was it them? Did they do something to me? Or was it me? And so what is the lesson that we learned? We learned that we can't open your mouth. Speak
That's
up.
Right.
I gave you a voice to speak. So speak, you know.
Yeah.
Don't just accept anything.
First time, shame on me. First time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. You know, how did I get set up the same way, the same person, the same mistake?
Over and over again.
At that point, that wasn't a mistake. That's a choice.
Yep.
We have to be aware and
be honest. It.
Yep.
We're trying to control
about...
it.
Mm-hmm.
To have fun.
No, I'm all with you. We have to let go. Control. Ooh,
control
is an illusion. It's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't have
control your own breath. Okay. You can barely control your own breath. Okay.
True.
There's so little we control. And if you knew like I knew, with our young clumsy selves. If God had control over something, I would let God have it because, of course, God knows more. If my ancestors said, girl, sit down, we got this. Oh, I'm all the way down. I'm loaded. I'm all the way down. I don't know enough to be sitting here fighting with divine beings about control. There is no control.
You have no control over it. No, surrender it to them. Surrender it to the master. Surrender it to your ancestors. Surrender
Amen.
It in any way
Amen.
You can so that you can, you know, because no matter how much we grow, no matter how much we learn, that's my Wednesdays. My Wednesdays is usually, I don't know how I get any work for those people done. I promise you, it's by the grace of God because I spend hours studying and learning and getting new information, and it's just piling in, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to call some people, and I take 15 minutes to call a person, and then I'm right back to what I was doing, you know.
But that's Wednesday's demand that. That's Wednesday. Wednesday's like, oh, you're going to study me. You're going to pay attention to this spirit. You're going to grow and expand your understanding of me. And so I absolutely love it. I love it. All the bending, the stretching, the pruning, all the things that I've had to say, okay, I recognize I've outgrown this pot. You know, it's time for me to move into a bigger pot, if not move outside. You know, I mean, spirit is working, y'all. 2020 is a bear and a half. And this is the grizzly bear, you know, really. And spirit's like, look, I still got things for you to do. So, you know, when I say working on me, oh, my goodness. So thank you, Sister Faith, for your transparency, your love, the energy, all of that, because we need to know we can make it through. You can keep trying. And
keep pushing.
The second time is not a mistake, it's a choice. So
it's a choice.
Ooh, that's nasty.
But to your own self be true.
To thy own self be true. And of course the truth has set you free. So I mean all it is, we're trying to they've been trying to tell us, okay? They're trying to tell us how to handle this, okay? Trying to tell us.
Right.
So it's up to us to pay attention. You know, that's the question. Are you gonna pay attention? Are you gonna be true to yourself? So all of that, that's how it has to work. So thank you so much, sister, for calling in and sharing with us.
Peace,
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Look, one thing that's big with me when it comes to this healing, which is why we have to allow other people to make their decisions, which is why we have to make sure we're focusing on our piece of this decision, whatever, I had to write down a list of the benefits that you get when you let go to heal. And one of the benefits I wrote down was the victory of winning. The victory of winning occurs the second you let your hands off. You don't have to wait for the outcome. You don't have to, you know, try to steer it this way. You don't have to make no requests of God. God knows what to do. Really, the victory in winning is a lot of why we need to be letting go to heal. We're blocking our own blessings. And once you begin to understand God's blessings, you know, for me, being in my right mind, number one, two, having my body work, operate peacefully, healthy, and, you know, I'm fairly healthy. Three, having healthy children, you know, my mother is still living. You know, these are blessings. These are blessings. And this is the victory. I feel like this is part of the reward that God has for me for doing a good job, for being the person who I am. And when you know that God is blessing you, you become more open with letting go to heal. Once you have let go of a small thing, just a small thing, let's say we cut back on cigarettes, you know, just a small thing. But once you start seeing the benefits, it inspires you. Okay, what happens if I take it all the way down to, you know, one, two cigarettes a day? You know, what happens when I just say I'm not going to smoke during the week, you know, when I'm working, whatever. You know, the victory, constant rewards that we get when we're following God's plan for us. God has already clearly defined a plan. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And more importantly, you know what you're not supposed to be doing, okay? So there are victories when you're able to follow the instructions. And the blessings are beautiful. So, you know, I just want to talk about one. That's just one small benefit of letting go to heal. I'm going to stay with the phone lines as long as I can. Hold on. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Alafia, my sister, how are you?
I'm good, Mama Seven. I am so good. Enjoying this beautiful full moon energy we have going on. Greetings,
yes.
Family. Love, 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 love. Yeah, so it's Wednesday. And
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It was about, because it was like, do I want to eat or go to sleep? I don't know. I was like, because
it's
just,
you been know, Wednesday since about 5 o'clock in the morning for me, you know. So yeah, it's Wednesday.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless
okay.
Your heart. I'm like Nicole. I was laying in bed like, Lord, just help me, because I'm tired and I don't even want to get up and eat. So please get me through the day, because I'm too tired. Well, it was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I got to my altar work just a little later than I wanted to, but it was done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
then I'm full. You know, and
right.
It's so interesting because I find during these times, especially around these full moon times, I have a lot of downloading, and I dream a lot. And I woke up with this message that said, and it's funny because it was like, do you have a plan for your life, or will you allow this life to plan for you?
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Okay.
I was like, all right, so do I have a plan for my life? So then I'm on the phone, and I'm talking to a friend today, and da-da-da-da, and we start talking about, you know, I start talking about things from my past and how it affects me now and, you know, and how I'm maneuvering and what I'm healing from, and bing, I look at my messenger, and it was like, oh, so that's what we're talking about tonight. I said, okay, well, I guess it's for me. And I had to really stop and think, because in order to heal, you have to forgive. In order to forgive, you have to want to heal. And if anybody's been on that retreat, you realize that sometimes we get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We get comfortable in our own funk. We get comfortable
mm-hmm.
in that place, because in order to heal, you actually have to do the work. you know. And a part of doing the work is knowing what tools you have and knowing how to work the tools that you have. And one of the biggest things that a lot of us don't want to do is, you know, it's easy for us to point that finger at everybody else. You did this to me and you did that.
Yeah.
You know, but while you're pointing, this finger's pointing back at you. And what did you allow to happen? You know, and why did you allow it to happen? And when you can get to the point where you say, okay, yes, this happened. You know, yes, I allowed this to happen. And not only do I forgive that person, I forgive myself and I accept that forgiveness. Once you forgive and you let it go, you know, that doesn't mean you may not forget, but it doesn't bother you as much because you still have to have that part of you that when that energy comes back around, you can't forget. Because when it comes back around, you can identify it. Oh, yep. I know what that is, so I know not to do that. Yeah, because forgiveness is cleaning yourself up. And when you see it come back around, you're like, oh, no, I'm not playing in the mud. No, I got white shoes on. You know what I'm saying? I got these brand new Nike Air Force Ones with the puff laces. I am not walking through that red dirt. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? That's not about to happen. So, you're going to have to come to me, and you're going to have to clean up before you get here. So when you recognize that behavior, you change, you know. And the benefit, the major benefit for me is that it allowed me to clear out other things. It allowed me to clear out a space and make room for the blessings that come towards me. You know, because if they said your God can't fill up your cup if you already got stuff in it. If you got a whole bunch of old cotton balls, if you know anything about cotton, and you're trying to fill and put water in that, that cotton is going to absorb that water. You're really not going to want, you can't get anything from that. You're going to have to remove all those fillers. You're going to have to empty it out, and not just empty it, you're going to have to clean it. And once you clean it up, then it's fresh. And God was like, oh, here's a vessel, because God would not only would God not give you anything that you can't handle, but also God is going to bless you with what you need if based on your hunger, based on your thirst.
Right.
If you act like all you need is a couple of drops of water and you're about to walk through the desert, that's on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
However, I don't need a couple of drops of water. I need, hey, can I get me a camel? Can I get this?
Right.
Can I get back? Actually, I don't even want to walk through the desert. Can we find another way?
Is there another way? Yes.
There's another way that we can do it. You know, so when you have a hunger, when you have a thirst, when you have cleaned out certain things and you have allowed your mind and your body and your spirit to go through that transformation, the benefit or the blessings that come to you. Remember, in the presence of my enemies, there will be a table prepared. Everything that's going on in this world right now, this is a change. Are you willing to empty out your vessel? Are you willing to deal in forgiveness? Are you willing to heal? You know, are you willing to say, you know what, I know this happened. However, I'm not going to allow it to affect my future. How I'm going
to
do that?
It doesn't have to define me.
It doesn't have to define me. Because, I mean, Sister Unique got a pass, you know. I mean, I wasn't always.
You weren't always
Sister
a woman
Unique
of the
cloth. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Sister Unique got a pass. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there was a time I was, you know, my door wouldn't close. I had to put a bungee cord on it because all the skeletons that was in there. So, however, I had to take them out and bury them, put them where they're supposed to be, like, all right, you know, clean that mess up and realize
clean
that, you know, I have to clean it up. And how you do that is that you make a plan, whether it's a small one, start out small, like you said. Start out with, I'm going to do something different. You know, I'm going to do something different today that my future self is going to thank me for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm going to do something different today that my future self. See, my past self, you know, did certain things. And now I look back, that's when you have that saying like, oh, if I knew then what I know now. Well, what you going to do with what you know now?
Right. Moving forward.
What are you going to do with you know now?
Pay it forward. They say pay it forward.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't help the past self. Can't go back in time. Can't go back in history. It's history. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I can pay it forward. Now that I've learned, now that I'm sorry, now that I've, you know, now that I have new knowledge, new understanding, how do I pay it mm-hmm. forward on my own self?
And it's so crazy because we do a ancestor reverence, and the reason why we do it, at least the reason why I do it, is because they did pay forward for me. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
They knew back then that this day was going to come. You know what I'm saying? When Martin Luther King said he had a dream, you know what I'm saying? I mean, dreams coming to fruition. You know,
yeah.
And they say, oh, yeah. You're going to walk in this desert, but there is a promised land for you. That's not something that is far-fetched. It exists. So I'm going to pray and pay ahead, and that's what we should do. You know, I don't mind fasting on Wednesdays. I can give up a meal. Yeah, I sure can.
Yeah.
You know, I can give up a meal
for the blessing,
so that I know later on we can feed thousands. I'll do it.
For the blessings I've seen. For the protections I've seen, I don't like the booty pops, so for the booty pops I've avoided, all of that. Oh, I give up a meal. I give up too. You know, I'm really cool with the work that I have to do because I don't. I want the blessings and I don't want the punishment. And so I can do it.
Yep,
I can.
They
do
cut
it.
My
not a problem.
They had cut my hours back at my where I work at, and it was like, well, you got to take one day a week off. I was like, whoop, Wednesday, can I get that?
Wednesday,
you know?
Amen.
And yeah, I'm short a couple of hours, you know, but I haven't wanted for anything. I still eat good. I still do all the things I want to do. You know, I don't want for anything, and I'm still able to bless those that I come in contact with.
Amen.
So.
Amen. And that's what it takes. And that's what we're trying to do. Amen. Thank you so much for calling and sharing with us. We needed that. And Wednesday's just about done. So there you go. Okay. Amen.
Love you too,
Pete. Oh, my goodness. You know, one thing I got another call I got to get. But there's one thing I also wanted to talk about when we talk about the benefits. When you let go to heal, for me, a big part of this benefit is the opportunity to set a good example. I need more people to see that this is a benefit. I need more people to understand that truly they're not going to listen to what you say. They're going to watch what you do. And what you do is everything. So, you know, we have to get to the point where we understand, and I know for a fact, some of the things I've had to learn, some of those uncomfortable pieces that I've had to learn, I knew I was learning them from someone else. I knew this was someone else's lesson. I knew for a fact that God wasn't trying me like this. I didn't do nothing, you know, but I knew that this was because I was going to have to either share this story and I was going to have to be able to explain how I got through, or someone was going to be watching me set this good example. And those, to me, those lessons can be a little harder to deal with, the healing on that, because it's like, man, I mean, I took one for the team. What in the world? And sometimes you have to. Sometimes that's how the healing works. Your ability to stay focused in the middle of it, knowing that the benefit is not going to benefit you. I'm not going to get the blessings. I don't get the victory. I don't get anything out of this. I'm setting a good example. And to me, that's part of all of our duties. So that's a benefit, the opportunity to be part of the good example. And it's something that I want everyone to think about, especially when you're going through a lesson that don't make no sense. When you're like, why am I struggling with this? Why is this here? Why? Because not only do you need to learn a lesson, but there's someone else that's learning from you or that's going to learn from you. So don't think that you're the only one in your lesson. Oftentimes, I know there's a time, well, why didn't you tell me I was wrong, or what? hey, I didn't know who the lesson was for. Was it for me? Was it for you? You know, I didn't understand what was going on at the point, at the moment. So I can sit and wait. So, but never miss an opportunity to set a good example. And sometimes that good example, like our dear sister Nicole said, is allowing other people to learn whatever mistake they need to learn to do that. Sometimes the lesson is being able to encourage someone and step back. So it's interesting. It's very interesting dynamic. But I'm going to grab my last caller. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama Seven.
Greetings, dear. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, it's Wednesday.
Had a long day. Long day.
Look,
but we're here.
The spider's back in his tank. That, you know, it's all good. We can all
right.
Sleep soundly tonight.
That is right.
All right, tell us about
the healing. Whew. In order, to me, with my healing, I had to let go of my need to control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Getting older, I realized that the more I grow older, the more I really don't know, you know, because once you're so used to living a trauma-filled life, your go-tos would be filled with trauma. And I had realized that a part of my surrender was surrendering my need to control and be so dot-to-dot with everything, because spirit don't work like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
Spirit has another agenda from what we have. So it's like,
that's right,
letting go of that need to control everything and understand that it's okay to just surrender and be content with that. And that was really hard for me. And I'm still learning lessons. Like, I've been to the mountains and, you know, I even let go of my name. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot of lessons.
Amen.
But if I wasn't,
amen,
if I wasn't content with, if I was content with being who I was, I'd still be struggling the same with the same problems. Now, the good thing is when the problems do come, I know enough to say, okay, you know what? I can't control it. I can do only but so much. So if I allow God to come in, it's God's situation now, you know? And day-to-day life is really, it could be triggering. It is triggering, you know.
It is. Yes, it is.
It is. It really is. And it's like reaching into that toolbox versus sitting in my foolish mess. You know, my spiritual toolbox is more useful. And I'm realizing, like, you know what? I can't sit in this energy, and I don't have control of the situation. So just be okay with it. You know, teaching,
mm-hmm.
for example, I'm teaching music online. Like, who would have thought in their right mind, you know, that I'll be teaching music online virtually, lagging internet, you know, it's just, it's a lot. But I ask myself, hey, how many times have the world shut down? Like, the world never shut down, ever. Like,
right.
The world, you know, the whole world, like, come on, the continent, like, come on now. So it's like I put myself in a position to say, hey, if I can't get to all of the students, be happy that some students logged on and hope for the best. You know what I'm saying? Reach out to the parents when I can, and if I can't get to them, know that I've done my best and pass it to the next person, because I can't save the school. I can't save the world. I can't control day-to-day things, but what I can control is my reactions and my actions. Those are the two things
right.
I can really control. And it's like knowing that, and it's funny because I had a conversation with my friend Brandon, and we were talking, and he was expressing how he walked away from a situation versus being mouthy. And, you know, he was like, the old me would have popped off, you know, and I just walked away and said, have a good day. That's a part of your healing, too, because knowing that you have diarrhea in the mouth, you know, a lot of people, I'm just saying, a lot of people want the trick of that, and I'm included, you know, and that pop off, and
it's a lot. The devil knows how to get you. The devil knows how to get you. Everybody's lesson is not the same, okay? Because everybody has different challenges and everything else like that, you know? And so regular temptation, I'm like, no, I'm good. No, really, I'm good. Certain people can hit that button in 0.03 seconds, and I'm all the way there. I'm all the way, all the way. You're like, how you could not have really been in a peaceful state of mind, and it only takes 3 seconds for somebody to pull you out of that. You're lying. There's a lie in there, you know. There's no way you can sit back and say you're good, you've made your prayers, you're focusing on God, and somebody pulled you out of who you thought you were. And so that's what I'm like, you know, this is why we have to be able to focus ourselves and really, really precision of language. Be, you know, just imagine God watching you. We don't know what the angels go back and report on. You know, we could have been great all 23 hours in the day, but that 1 hour, that's when the angels are rolling the tape. You're like, Dad, Gwyneth, you didn't see all the other stuff. So, you know, we don't know that. This is why we have to just maintain ourselves, period. We don't know, you know, we've had humanitarians, people that do good things, but then they have issues, and their issues are bad. And it's like, man, what you do in the dark is so wiping away all the positives you might be doing in the light. So, you know, when it comes to letting go to heal, you know, we have to truly get into the essence of the healing. Don't play with it. You know what I'm saying? And we have to make sure when you say that you have healed from something, that means, you know, nobody should be able to go and tap dance on your little feelings and then all of a sudden it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And then, you know, while I got you on the phone, I'm going to share something else that I said to you earlier.
Okay.
Don't be making those anthills problems, family. But this is what happens when we have things open that still need to be healed. When we, when someone is on a pain center, now, you don't know what my pain center is. So you don't know. You could be sitting smack dab on what is all painful for me. But when someone is sitting on your pain center, they don't always know it. But you do. You can move. You can start the healing. You can do all kinds of things. But, you know, this is part of why we have to heal. Because we can't walk around with a sore on us that's getting infected. We can't do that. So not letting those anthills, it's an anthill. Step over it. You know what I'm saying? Go around it. But don't make it a mountain. And that's part of letting go to heal. You know, once you've gotten that cleanup stuff done, you're not going to be like, oh, hunky-dory, hey, I want to do this, hey, I want to do that. You're going to be like, no, and you're not getting my clothes dirty. So we have more pride in our work and more pride in how we handle situations when we start getting that maturity and obedience in place. You know what I'm saying? So, Absolutely.
One more thing,
Mama.
Thank you so
much for calling in and sharing. Okay.
One more thing, Mama Savvy. One more thing. I have to share this. So, and this is not necessarily for you. It's for the listeners because it's about you. So, basically.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. And I had to realize that growing up, I have a lot of baggage. And when you, Mama Seven, when you offer yourself and you give me your energy, I had to realize that if I wanted to build the same way, you know, I have to remember that you were not my childhood trauma. So I'm not going to let my childhood trauma affect the relationship that we have. You know what I'm saying? And that we do that. We do that. We miss out on genuine relationships, genuine friendships.
Yeah.
you know, genuine connections, because we feel like the next man is out to get us. That that affects our relationships to people. It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And we sort of push away method, and we end up losing, or not losing, but putting negative energy into what God blessed us with. Like, I feel like Mama 7 is a blessing to me. So the last thing I would want to do is bring my childhood trauma into a relationship that's new for me. And you have nothing to do with my childhood trauma. So I just wanted to share that, because that's a part of healing, y'all. Like, that's part of healing. We have to understand that everyone is not out to get us. We don't have to be so open. Like, you know, we don't have to be McDonald's drive-through 24/7, you know. No, we don't have to be so open. However, we do have ways where we can control our relationships. You know what I'm saying? So I just had to say that before I hung up. I just had to say that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, because trust me, there's someone sitting out there that's like, ooh, I sure would like to try, but I don't know. I've been hurt before. I've been burnt before. There's someone sitting out there thinking these thoughts, and just hearing that will allow them to say, okay, I'm going to try. I can at least try. So thank you so much for sharing, my dear. All right, you have a wonderful evening.
All right, you
peace.
Too. Peace.
You know, as I'm sitting there, I'm listening, you know, from the mouth of babes, really. I sit back, and the question I had was, I need everybody to hear me. What happens when the problem is you? And as after I write that down, dear Sister Iza goes and shares how part of it was her own thinking. What happens when the problem is you? What happens when you keep running to pick up this thing that we already said is dirty, but you want to keep picking it up because you think you can do better? You know, what happens when we're constantly trying to manipulate this and make it what we think it should be, when rather than letting go and letting God do what God needs to do? You know, so when you are the problem, half of this is mental then. All of it might be mental. How do you get out of your own way? And that's the kind of question, you know, when we start to be honest with each other, those are the kind of questions that we have for one another. What happens when it's you? Okay, how do we promote healing? Thousand different ways, right? Let's start with the simple ones. Praying. In praying, there's a surrender. And surrender for me has been the key word. I keep hearing Spirit say it over and over again. Surrender. Give it to me. I've been out in nature hurting, physically and emotionally. And nature will say, give it to me. I am equipped to handle it. You are not, a little human, you know. Give it to me. Let go of the pain. Let go of the fear. Let go of the shame. Let go of all the things that no longer serve us where we are right here, right now. And it's easier to come up with a plan. But taking those first steps, don't be surprised if you develop lead feet. Don't be surprised if you're trying to build, you're trying to move, you're trying to grow, you're trying to do all these things, and your feet won't move. Don't be surprised when you have 15 million excuses as to why it won't work. Don't be surprised. Expect it. You are battling yourself. So what do you have to do in that? You have to go get somebody else. Don't sit there and fight yourself. You already know all your moves. You already know all your strengths. You know, it's like every time I say, oh, I got to get to the gym, half my body is like, yes, some exercise. And the other half is like, but don't we have something else to do? You know, don't we have some reading to do? Don't we have some dishes to do, some paperwork, you know? And I'm like, oh, I do have paperwork to do. And then the paperwork wins. I have to find another technique other than myself to get this work done. So don't be surprised if you end up trying to trick yourself into getting the work done. don't be surprised if you need a buddy, okay? I believe in the buddy system. I believe in having someone to call, to reach out to in those confusing times when you are not quite sure what, how, and when to handle this. Just getting another opinion. Don't have to be a guru. Doesn't have to be, you know, the pastor. No, it can just be someone who cares about you. But getting some help, you know, and of course, all of this is part of our toolbox. You know, not sitting in it for long, okay? So, I don't know if y'all have ever had an infection, you know. That's because you took too long to clean it out. That's because it was bandaged improperly. It didn't get enough air, it got too much air, whatever the problem was. You know, we have to make sure that we're getting the proper help that we need. Get into that toolbox. Get your buddy system. I'm going to tell all my people out there under the age of, I'm going to say 35, you need a mentor. Find you an elder that does not mind sharing with you. Get you an elder that doesn't mind your company, that you can go. When I lived in Atlanta, I had an old man. He owned the Tree of Life bookstore in New York. He retired in Atlanta, the West End. Once a week, I'd go over there, take care of the cat litter. And he would talk to me about this book, about this person that came into the bookstore, about all the influential people he got to see, he got to speak to. And it was like speaking to a walking library. It was some of the most memorable moments I had. And just to know that I was speaking to someone who was in the middle of everything positive, dealing with subjects that are positive and meaningful to me. I learned so much. And I learned how short life was. And I learned about it's more important to heal so I can build more and grow more. And I can't wait to be an elder so I can share with everyone, hey, I see what you're doing. There's an easier way to do it. I see what you're doing. Let me help you over here. Hold my hand for a minute, you know. Just come over here and let me be a part of your life. So when it comes to healing and being about healing and encouraging others in their healing, making sure the healing lasts, we're not just taking advantage of it. We're not just going to let it sit there, you know, really. Allow yourself to be that positive force for healing. Our country, my goodness, is in need of healing. We have generations, the whole generation needs healing. If you see someone mad, frowned up, full of hate, full of racism, full of all this stuff, guess what? They need healing. So as we're going through this time in our life, this time in our country, you know, this time just all over, please be aware of what the problem is. And don't be part of the problem. Please do not have a wonderful approach angel with you. Don't be part of the collective and you're part of the problem. This collective is supposed to be part of the solution. We're supposed to be working on bettering ourselves in order so that we can continue to have it flow. Everything we do in a small way, you know, pebbles are small. Think about a pond. A pond is usually big. Pebbles are small. They're like 0.01% of the size of the pond. But when dropped in the right location, it can ripple and change the entire pond. Now, how can something just a percentage, 0.01% of the pond, how can something so small impact a pond? It can, it does. So we're going to be part of that ripple of change. We're going to be part of that positivity as it flows through to the people, for the people. We're going to be part of that that works in the positive. Now, understand, we're fighting some battles. We are fighting some serious battles, but they're worth it. You're worth it. This next generation is worth it. Continuing our legacy and our lineage is worth it. Having things being corrected in the way they're supposed to be is worth it. Having it so that we can get this healing at the young ages, at the tender ages, so we don't have to wake up and grow up with a scar. All of these things are necessary in order to get the healing going. And understand, because we are all connected in this fabric of humanity, every scar that someone carries is a scar that you carry. And every time you do healing, we start our healing for the world. So don't look small at this. This is not a small thing. It's a very big thing. And our piece in it is a big piece. Okay? So we're going to be moving into the prayer portion, okay? Oh, love my prayer portion. It is, trust me, after the spider incident, I'm prayed up really for the week. But, you know, extra prayer doesn't hurt nobody. But that tarantula on the wall today, I was like, yo, no. So I want to go into the prayer, knowing, you know, letting God know, yes, I know I made tons of prayers really, really quickly this morning. But that's not it. That's not all. I always want to use my voice for the positive. I always want to have prayer going up. I'm going to start the prayer with the 23rd Psalm. And prayer should be a big part of all of our lives. No matter what religious understanding you come from, prayer should be there. It's a part of who you are. Prayer helps you connect to the larger aspects of humanity and to all of us, your brothers and sisters, and to all of our God brothers and sisters, our animal kinfolk. You know, this is how we're all going to survive on this planet, okay? So if you know the 23rd Psalm, I would like you to repeat it with me as I'm going through it. If you don't know the 23rd Psalm, please take the time to learn this. The majority of our ancestry is Christian. These prayers, you can argue all you want about where it came from and copy from this and blah, blah. You can if you want. You'll get nowhere with me because the prayer has taken on a life of its own. You know, so when I say the prayer is for God, but I remember my grandmother and my great aunt saying this prayer. I remember this prayer being important in our house. There were plaques. It was all over the house, embroidered. And, I mean, it was just there. These words had almost like a life and an energy of in themselves. So I would like everybody, if you know this, to say it out loud as I'm saying it and allow it to mean something to you. You know, a lot of times we'll say prayers for years. Same prayer over and over. After going through a situation, or just as we grow and study, as the prayer has more meaning, you know, once this prayer reminds you of this, reminds you of that, it has more meaning to it. So just allow yourself to really get all that you can and all that there is from this prayer. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen, family, and I look forward to seeing everyone next week. Peace.